What's up, y'all? Usually I don't do intros to the episodes, but then I remembered I got a bunch of tour dates and we need people there. This is a business. September 14th, I'll be in Camden, New Jersey with Miss Lauryn Hill and Nas. I'll be in Bristol, Virginia with Miss Lauryn Hill and Nas. And I'll be in Wilmington, Delaware. And it'll be me, DJ Tony Trim. And who knows who else? Lauryn Hill and Nas won't be there. There's a bunch of other dates. Miami, San Diego, LA, Bay Area, Seattle, Columbia, Missouri. Check them all out at HannibalBurris.com. Share the episodes and all of whatever, you know, check out. Follow Tony Trim at Tony Trim and all of that. And I'm excited for you to hear this episode. It's with Leon Rogers. Outstanding comedian from Chicago who I came up watching and studying when I was, you know, he was running a lot of great rooms in Chicago and was always coming through with fresh material. So he was great to watch and outstanding comedian and currently on WGCI, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. 107.5 Monday through Friday. I've been through there before as a guest, and it's a tough trip to make, man. That's early. Downtown Chicago, that early. Whew. Anyways, this is a fun app. We talk, you know, old school Chicago comedy. Tells us some stories about Bernie Mac, his DJ career. There's a little bit of auto-tune and a little bit of theremin. So, Flying Lotus, drop that beat.
About to start the show.
Man, I'm about to get fired the fuck up.
If we had a program director for this, they would say, you need to lay off the auto-tune.
That is hilarious.
Welcome to the Handsome Rambler Podcast. I'm your host, Hannibal Burris. Over there on the drums, Tony Trim. We're our special guest from the Shy on every morning. 107.5 WGCI, Leon Rogers.
What up, man?
What's happening, man?
Get an alternator, put it on your con, start it. Get an alternator, put it on your con, start it. Put an alternator, put an alternator.
What's happening, man?
I can't call it, man. Happy to be alive, beautiful, loving life right now. In a good place, man. You know, sometimes in our profession and what we do, sometimes you get a little fed up with stuff. I'm actually in a good place right now. I can't complain. What? It's been a good stretch.
Good, man. You know, I was worried. Not worried, but you on every morning.
Yeah.
6 to 10.
Yep.
And this is 11-ish now. Yeah. I was like, you know, this is the first thing I'm doing. Leon going to come in sharp and fired.
Yeah, man. Hey, man, listen. Radio, this is what I tell all comics that want to do radio. You don't have the 30 minutes to screw off cubicle time.
Yeah.
You know, when you work a regular job,
you can warm
in. You go sit in the break room for 30 minutes. You're like, I ain't going out there and picking up no boxes. Give me get about 9:45.
Yeah.
Our job, as soon as the light go on, I'm sick, I don't feel good. You know, it's bright lights, big city, because people ride to work on us. People time their day to us.
Yeah.
So if I sound like crap on the air, they might punch out or they don't want to tune in. So they want to hear me tripping. So, you know, rain, sleet, or snow, you got to go.
The show starts at 6 a.m.
At 6, but we do so show you gotta prep get at there 5.
Like I was going to say, you got to. So you're waking up at like 3 in the morning.
I leave out my house about 3:45.
That's crazy.
4:15.
So you don't even have a nightlife? You don't go out?
I do, though. That's the crazy thing. I see how celebrities get on cocaine. It's not even about the enjoyment of the drug. It's to stay awake.
Yeah.
He hosted a comedy show tonight.
And
oh, shit.
And I'll get home. I'll lay down at about 12:30. 1. My alarm will go off about 3:15, 3:20.
Wakes up at 3:15.
I get up.
That's a bunch of cocaine.
And out. So now the cool thing is, though, so like when I leave you guys, I got a little thing to do, like for Metro PCS. Shout out to Metro PCS. And then I'm done till the comedy show later on tonight, 8:30, 9 o'clock. So I'll probably sleep, catch a cat nap, you know, do the over 40 nap thing.
Jesus.
But you
tell my
kids, man.
Don't, like, literally, I have to say, leave me the fuck alone. Go away. I tell my 4-year-old that. Beat it. Scram. I'll talk to you later. There's nothing in your day that matches up with mine. Somebody put their coat on your hook. Fuck out of here. Move on.
Yeah, that's schedule, so, man.
That's it, dog.
That's crazy.
For 15 years.
15? It's
I've been
in
radio 15 years, man.
Wow. Oh, no, because you were on
Power 92 first. And then I crossed over and went to D1 school.
You know, I don't know if we talked about this or you, but it was the funniest thing when Chance the Rapper made the Angels track.
Uh-huh. and
he's on his version of the original version. He says, GCI 107.5 Power 92.
GCI 107.5 Angel going live. Power 92. Angel juke. Angel gone juke.
And so I listened to it like that a bunch of times. And then I happened to be listening to one of the stations in the car, or it happened to be on in the Uber or something. And I was like getting hyped for that part. And then it was just 107.5 They edited out the 92.3 part.
So petty.
The pettiest edit ever.
Bro, it's real. It's real. It's like Domino's and Pizza Hut. Like, it's real. It
was, come on, though. On I know you didn't do it, obviously, but it's just I was.
And yo, like, the thing about that is, though, like, I have a lot of friends that still work over
there.
And I've never been one to do the whole, I'm on this station, so let me take shots at them. And even though I've had some of my quote unquote friends that work over there take shots because I'm on GCI. At the end of the day, these are jobs.
Right.
And when you get called in that office that day, because it's going to happen, and they say, hey, you know, thanks, been a good run, but we're going to put this 19-year-old kid in your spot right now.
Yeah.
Then what? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm
not
going to...
you didn't burn them bridges.
Yeah, I'm not going to forsake people that I care about as a human being for the sake of... because I wear the colors of this station. Now, do I represent my station everywhere I go? Absolutely. You know, WGCI, I will always say we're the number one station. We're the biggest station. We're the heritage station. But at the end of the day, that mean I don't respect Shag. That don't mean I respect Ferris, who's a good friend of mine, you know, and Jay Allen, the people that work over on the other side. But it is what it is. It is what it is.
And GCI, you know, stronger reception when you get further out of the city center.
You can go to Milwaukee and listen to us.
92, it starts getting fuzzy. You get out.
I mean, you know, they're kind of like a mom and pop's organization. Yeah. You know, they're owned by one guy, Crawford Broadcasting, whereas, you know, iHeartMedia owns WGCI. They also own, you know, where the Breakfast Club broadcasts, you know, KISS in New York, you know. So you got Power in L.A.
Yeah.
With Big Boy on the station. So, yeah. I mean, like I said, it's like Northern Illinois and Michigan football.
Yeah.
They both D1, but.
So, yeah, iHeart is part of, that's a machine where if the, where, you know, they have the artists that they're like, they're going to.
Absolutely.
Push through. And,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, I mean, but at the end of the day, it's a job. It's a job, man. It's something I enjoy doing. A lot of people can't say that they enjoy getting up and going to work every day. I do. Yeah. I actually love it. You know what I'm saying? It's cool.
3:45.
Man, bro. Listen.
I can't even imagine that lifestyle.
Tony, the only time I regret it is like, so say like Thursday nights I do this thing at Tilly's where we do old school hip hop.
Yeah.
And I spin. And a lot of times I'm the last DJ.
Yeah.
So we get out of there at like 1:30, 2. So I just stay up.
Yeah.
I don't go to sleep. Because if I go to sleep, it's a wrap.
Right.
But I make sure that Friday, I don't have nothing planned for when I get off work. So that way I can come home.
And knock out sleep.
I get about.
So you're just doing the graveyard shift.
5 to 6 hours a day. Yeah. I might get 5 to 6 hours. But at my age, I probably should be getting 8 to 10. But, you know.
You because I was looking at your schedule, doing my research. I'm a professional. I saw you hosting an album release party tomorrow.
Yep. And then leaving there and doing a comedy show out in Harvey. Then leaving there, go doing the DJ thing, and then, you know, just stay up and go to work.
Damn.
And then get off,
nuts,
sleep half a Friday away, and then probably around about 8:30, 9 o'clock, get up. And
so you drink a lot of coffee, or you're on the Adderall?
You know what?
How do you, I mean, are you just natural?
You know what my guilty pleasure is, bro? And I got to stop because it's not good for me. Kickstart.
Yeah.
Mountain Dew Kickstart, man. I have to catch myself. I used to be at like 3 or 4 of those joints a day.
Wait, what's Kickstart?
Mountain Dew Kickstart. They're like it's an energy drink.
Yeah.
But it's okay. Like they got some very exquisite flavors.
Oh.
The pineapple mango and the raspberry citrus.
You're just on fucking
and
energy.
I used to pop them like 3 or 4 a day, and then I just was feeling like shit. And I go, yo, man, my doctor was like, hey, man, what are you getting some rest? I say, I get about 5 or 6 a day. He said, well, what do you do to stay up? I said, well, I drink, you know, energy drinks. He's like, stop that. Like, you know, cool. So now I'm down to like 1. I curb myself to like 1, and then I just drink a lot of water. Yeah. But, I mean, like I say, I see how somebody who has to remember scripts or something has got a busy schedule will do a line of blow and knock it out.
Let's get it done.
Right? Yeah.
You do that.
I just can't put nothing in my nose. That's why I can't do cocaine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They find a way, you're going to put it underneath the tongue or something, and maybe I'd get a couple of things done, clean up the house.
But then they do the line read. They're like, let's take it one more time, but a little bit slower. Slow it down a little bit.
This is film. Can't you do that in post-production? Slow it down in post-production. They do it all the fucking time. Where's my sandwich?
And if you did it through your mouth, it would make your tongue all numb.
Yeah. So I don't
get
know.
It in the right.
But I do see how celebrities probably do cocaine and just to stay up. Because I can't do coffee. I'm not a coffee guy. I've never had coffee in my life. It looks disgusting. My mother drinks her coffee like straight black. And I'm like, you're crazy. That looks like you're drinking oil.
Coffee just for people that want to shit in the morning right away.
Really?
That's it. It just make you shit right away.
Well, I got an auntie, some cooking you can eat that'll get that done
real
quick.
She just got consistent
diarrhea food. We banned her from a green bean casserole Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, wow.
She's not going to hear this, so I'm going to say her name. Aunt Dora. Because she's not going. Yeah. Aunt Dora's not in this loop. She's like 60 plus. The worst. It's like we used to think she was cooking in like unclean dishes. Because everything she cooked.
How many years did it take before y'all said, yo, Dora?
It was my dad's sister, rest in peace. And he was just like, after about 2 or 3 times, he was like, hey, chill on that. I don't need you to bring nothing.
Damn.
You good. Bring yourself.
That had to hurt. Women put, especially older women, put a lot of pride into their cooking.
Yeah, so she, you know, so like desserts, I don't know what it is. It's like, you just be like, it just eviscerates your bowels.
It's instant, like within the hour?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and you know, my crib only got 2 bathrooms, so once 2 of them tied up, like the kids, like, well, what happened? We ate some of Aunt Dora's red velvet cake.
Aunt Dora. Aunt Dora with the diarrhea. Stuff that make your bowels explode. Aunt Dora.
With diarrhea.
Aunt Dora.
With diarrhea. With diarrhea.
Ooh.
Diarrhea. 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 Diarrhea.
Oh.
Diarrhea. 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 Hershey squirts. Hershey squirts. Hershey squirts. Make it hurt. The bowels. Okay, simple. Bowels make it hurt. Colon cleans. Didn't want it. Colon cleans.
Yo, I remember I forgot.
That shit is amazing. What? I just want to get one and be at the crib.
I don't know.
Man, my DJ sets just start screaming out over the mic. Last call.
Recent holiday, I don't know if it was Thanksgiving or Christmas, I was at my sister's house in Phoenix, and I had some it was my, I just had to keep going to the bathroom, and it was like, I can't believe whatever I ate, this diarrhea is taking time away from my family.
Yeah.
I can't spend time with my family.
I hate it, man.
I'm shitting my guts out.
Speaking of, while we're on the topic of shitting, like, at my job, like, you know, like, I kind of, like, you have to go under the stalls. Our bathrooms are wonderful at iHeartMedia.
As they should be.
Beautiful, well-kept, maintained, soft ambient light. Just
yeah,
perfect.
They gotta be. People are irritable in the early in the morning. Imagine if you saw a dirty bathroom at 6:45, you
perfect
freak out.
Pooping, like, you know, it's just.
I like that you mentioned the light.
Ambient light. It's real. The light is key, dog. It's just light enough for you to read a magazine, but not over bright. You know what I'm saying? But a pet peeve of mine, like, don't get in the stall, like, right next to me.
Yeah.
If you're a grunter or like a, you know, that shit disturbs me, because I'm here concentrating. I'm just, you know, I'm doing the tasty freeze cone. You know what I mean? It's a steady.
You're saying, you know, yeah.
A steady tasty freeze cone. Now, if you come into the next one and you're like, you sound like a full blown Chevy, you know, you brah, 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 and then this destroys my tasty freeze experience, because I'm one continuous stream.
Yeah.
I'm building the cone. Spectre Man. Every time you do that, you know that. I don't know if you remember the movie Spectre Man, the TV show.
Spectre Gadget?
No, Spectre Man. You see, you motherfuckers are young. I hate y'all.
How old are you,
Leah? I'm 46.
Yeah.
So, Spectre Man, like, wipe me, put your head. Tune in next week for Spectre Man. And that's how he used to call the guy that make him change. Overlord, request permission to transform. Then they'd go, permission denied, Spectre Man. Your power cells are not fully charged. And then he would just go back to his regular job.
While
the monster fucked up Tokyo.
So I didn't know that was
anybody that knew Spectre Man, just hit Hannibal up and be like, yo, dead ass.
We'll splice it in.
Spectre Man, this is Overlord. We have reason to believe Dr. Gorey has completed his underground base in the Hakone area.
If we have it, to find it on YouTube,
Absolutely. I got all the episodes at the crib, dog. Yeah. You can find them on YouTube, too. Like Spectre Man, Giant Robot, Gamera, all that is part of that whole phenomenon. I grew up watching that stuff.
I like the idea of just a practical superhero where it's like, nah, you can't right now.
No, they used to check him. Yeah, it was straight bullshit. Like, the monster's tearing up the city, but because he had fought some other dudes earlier, he's not, like, fully healed. His name was George, actually. Yeah. That was the name of his alias. He was George, and he worked for this, like, environmental company. And he would go outside. He was like, I can't let the monster destroy Tokyo. Overlord, request permission for transformation. Permission denied, Spectre Man. Your power cells are not at full capacity.
Yeah.
You are there. I'm waiting, Overlord.
Not yet, Spectre Man. It is too soon after your battle with Gory's creature. You need time to recharge your energies. You must wait. Request denied.
I just stand by and let a tidal wave wash over our city. Is that it?
Yes, Spectre Man. That is it. You must wait.
Did he just turn around and...
That sounds like my type of shit. I want to see a super... Just like, and then they would just... The rest of the episode would just be him and his regular job.
Until he charged up. And then, like, they would piss you off because then at the end, they let him transform. And then they show him about to fight the monster. But then it'd be like, tune in tomorrow to see if Spectre Man beats Mega Dunga Dunga Don on Spectre Man.
Top-notch cliffhangers right there.
It's crazy you've never heard of it. The lead villain was a guy named Dr. Gorey. He was an ape with, like, silver hair. And he used to talk with his hand. He's like, I must destroy the earth.
This is from the States?
Nah, this is from Japan, man, like in the 60s.
Okay.
But they showed it on Channel 44. Like, it came on right before Voltron and shit. Like, it used to be that, Voltron, and Battle of the Planets, which was known as G-Force.
Yeah.
It was just the shit.
The Godzilla era.
Yeah.
All that, yeah. Yeah, like, right around in that same genre. Yeah. Good stuff, man.
Yo, I was looking... And I was looking at this link you posted up, and it pissed me off too. Where sometimes you see these prank videos, where the prank is not really a prank is just some dumb real shit. Asshole yeah. shit where it's not really thought out. A prank is where kind of both people can enjoy
laugh
it.
About it. Yeah.
But the shit they be doing be some shit somebody be mad about forever.
Yeah. Like a prank is, you know, hey, we put a whoopee cushion, and every time Hannibal says the word "and," we're gonna hit it and make the fart sound.
Yeah,
that's a prank. Putting standing next to me in a black suit and saying, "Oh, I see the target. Take the shot." And then when I look down, there's a dot on my chest.
Yeah,
because somebody's playing with a laser pointer.
That's,
yo, that's a good way to get killed, bro.
Yeah, that.
Especially out here, like with everything that's going on, I was like, that shit's insane. This guy was walking up to people, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm standing here." Suspect has on a black shirt with red logo. Take the shot. I've been compromised. Take the shot.
And then the guy runs away, and then I would look down, and then I was waiting for one of the people to be like, "This is bullshit."
No, I was waiting for somebody a gun and just start busting whatever they thought the dot was coming from.
Yeah, because I know some of those are fake, but some of them, I seen one where it's just, "Hey, we're going to run up to people and say what's up and ask to use their cell phone, then we're going to run away with their phone." No, that's theft.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. And then that kid kept getting his ass kicked, though.
Yeah.
No, I just saw one recently. A guy goes into this, like, pizza place. It's in the hood, first of all. This black guy runs into a pizza place, and he's yelling at somebody from behind the window. And they're like, "Get out of here." He's like, "No, I don't want to get out of here. You can't leave me. I won't let it go down like this." So he has a gas can, right? But the gas can is full of water, but people don't know that. And so he's like, "Man, I don't know what I'd do without you." And he starts pouring the contents of the gas can on him like it's gas, and he's about to let himself on fire. So everybody starts running out, people grabbing kids. There's one guy in a blue sweatshirt calmly pulls out the biggest Desert Eagle I've ever seen in my life and say, "Man, don't play that shit." Dude was like, no, it's a prank. Look, it's water. Look. It was like, "Oh, now it's a prank." when Madman about to blow your brains out, Madman was like, "Fuck all that. Give me my pizza, son. Give me my pizza." He's about to kill your ass over a joke. Like, I don't get it, man. I don't get the whole, I never got planking. I never got none of that crap, like just going and laying across something. I never got, you know, none of that stupid shit.
Any prank involving shit or piss is not cool.
Yeah, I'm straight on bodily fluids too.
Yeah,
I'm sure I'm good.
There's no funny way to do that.
You know,
you used to have this show. You've had a bunch of shows around the city, but one I remember specifically is the Estate.
Oh yeah, the Gladiator Dome. That's where comics came to die. We who come to die salute you, because it was set up like when you come in, you had the stage, then you had the people here. You had this one VIP section over here, but then you had like a balcony
where
people sat up there, and it was like the Roman Colosseum, and it would just get so nuts in the room. I would just come up on stage and be like, "Does the mob want more?" Because I'm really fascinated by that whole era. And people used to come up, and I used to be like, "Yay or nay?" And the crowd used to say yay, and if not, if you got booed, we just holler, "Stone him!" Like, it was, the energy was amazing. I missed that room.
Anthony Mason used to be there heckling motherfuckers. You know how weird it is to get heckled by a 6'9 NBA player that's known for beating up other big people?
But one thing
I would, like 3 years into doing comedy.
One thing I would say about him, rest in peace, man. If you got him with a good one, he would chill, because he was New York to the heart. So he was always a good spirit, dog. Like he would fuck with you, but when you got off stage, he'd be like, "Man, you know I'm just messing with you, right?" Yeah. But you'd be like, "No, I'm not sure." Because like you said, 6'9", dude, 295. I don't want no smoke. You know, the true story of Anthony Mason, it used to be this club called Voyeur. Back in the day, at Mace, we was out. Mace was like, 100 shots of Patron. That's when Usher had Patron popping. But now the tequila of choice is Avion tequila. Please drink Avion responsibly.
This guy's a pro.
Hey, man. 15 years.
Right, you did?
So smooth. Right,
but So we had, it was me, him, Deion Cole, I'll never forget, and a couple other guys, my cousin Daryl, and 100 shots, and knocking them back. He's like, everybody's going to do 10 each. You know what I'm saying? It's 10 of us. Everybody going to do 10 each.
Oh,
I was like,
that's a twist.
I'm like, nice.
Thought he was buying it for the whole place.
Nah, bro. It was just us, our crew. I said, Mace, dog, my body is not built to do no fucking 10 shots of anything. Not even 10 healthy vitamin B shots.
Yeah.
Saltgrass, wheatgrass, none of that. Now you going to do them? Yo, I'm punching you in your face, yo. So I got down the first five. And then Deion was like, me and Deion just started looking at each other and started throwing them over the back of the shoulders. Like, I remember wetting this chick up behind me. Because I thought, like, man, this, we going to die. Like, we're going to die. But to him, it was nothing.
Yeah, because it's a, yeah.
He gets drunk. He goes to one of the biggest security guards in the club. This dude, 6'5", 6'6", nice size. Hey, yo, son. Yo, I got $5,000 in my pocket, B. He went in pocket, pulled up. $5,000. Here. Take it. Let's go outside and fight. So the security dude's like, nah, Mace, nah, we cool. Nah, fuck that, yo. The money yours. Win or lose. Let's go, man.
Oh, he's saying.
He talking to the.
He's saying fight.
Him, one-on-one.
I thought he meant fight, just go fight in general.
Nah, he want to fight the dude.
He's paying him $5,000 to fight him.
Oh, shit.
Fight club. So my man like, yo, y'all getting on me. Don't look at them, son. 5 G's. Come on, man. Fuck. So everybody trying to calm him down, right? I tell the security dude, I ain't going to lie, man. If I was you, I tell him right this way, sir. And soon as he goes out that side door, I'd either A, cave his head in with a bar stool, or just close the door.
Yeah.
He's locked out. He's like, nah, man.
Just dodge him.
Makes cool, man. You know, give him his money back. I said, I'm not touching that. You got the money. And I said, because he's going to come looking for it eventually. Right. And I don't want to be the one that has it. Yeah. So he got his money back. He's like, yo, pussy. Oh, y'all pussy, man. 5 G's. Win or lose. Ain't nobody want nothing. Brooklyn. He just out here on some savage NY shit. He going crazy. I'm like, yo, Mace, yo, you gotta calm down, man. You can't go to a club and just challenge the security.
Also, it wasn't because of the Brooklyn part.
It was just, yeah, it was just
you're a huge person.
It's just huge, bro. Like, you don't look real. Like, you don't realize, we watch basketball players on TV, like, and then you be like, ah, okay. Even the little guys, like Chris Paul. I remember when I met Chris Paul. I'm like, Chris Paul, Jack, 6'2".
Right.
And that ain't going to be easy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, imagine an Anthony Mason or like guys like Shaq. I remember when I met him and was staring at his navel.
Yeah, I met Shaq. We were on the first time when I did I did Tonight Show with Fallon. When I did stand up on in 2014, he was the guest on there, and I saw him in the hallway, and I wanted to say what's up, but I was like, that's too big of a person to speak to.
Dog.
I don't want to bother him. He has really giant people stuff to do.
Dog, dude, I got a picture with him. I swear I look like a baby. He's standing next to me, and I'm just like, I look like it's me and Marlon Mitchell standing next to him. And, you know, Marlon is a pretty rotund guy. You know Marlon Mitchell. Marlon's got a little weight to him. He's a little mass, a little density. But we look like babies standing next to this dude, man. And this is after NBA Shaq, where he loses a little bit of the weight and starts living healthy.
Yeah.
Like, imagine when he was playing.
Right.
7'1", 345. That's insane.
We were backstage once with Blake Griffin, and everybody was thinking, but he's super cool. He takes pictures with everyone. But he purposely does the arm around the person.
To make you look like a dwarf.
Every picture, he's like, yeah, cool, come here.
Yeah, I just when I see stuff like that, I think about like Vince Wilfork, who just retired, right, from Houston, Texas, the defensive tackle, Vince Wilfork, right? This guy's what, 6'3", tipping the scales at about 345.
Yeah,
like what vaginas can take that? Like, that's a lot of train come. Even if the lead engine is small, that's still the rest of the train coming behind. That's a lot of weight. Like, who wants that smoke? Like, I wouldn't. You know, hats off to females. Hats off to females. And combine that with the fact that he might be ugly, but he just got a lot of money, so you're going to take this. You know what I'm saying? Hats off to females. I couldn't do it.
I heard from a reliable source that Scottie Pippen once ruined somebody's internal organs.
Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? Once again, Avatar. You looking at him like, dude, this... Well, Scotty's skinny, but then you see him in real life and you're like, yo, man, Scotty ain't skinny, dog. I'm not starting no fight with no NBA player.
That reach advantage. Tail of the tape.
Yeah.
He's coming in at 5'10". Right. 200, unhealthy 210 right. pounds. 60-inch reach. Other guy has 6'7".
Amazing cardiovascular.
Right.
Cardio.
Endurance.
10
stamina.
Years of retirement, though. And he's still healthier than you.
Yeah, still healthier.
Fucked it. Like, nah, there's too much good stuff out here to be doing to be fighting.
Shave your face with Bevel, because this episode is brought to you by them, and it's designed for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Stepping up your shave game is real simple. Just get to getbevel.com/Hannibal, that's GETBEVEL.com/Hannibal, and get them good deals. No razor bumps, live smooth, get the full shave system and a futuristic trimmer, all of that good stuff. Get to getbevel.com/Hannibal and get a save. Save some money. Look good. Stay trim.
You mentioned Dion. You and Dion started out around the same time?
No, actually, Dion was on before me. I came in with guys like Marcus Combs.
Yeah.
Me, Marcus Combs. We kind of came in all around at the same time. Frank Townsend. Just to name a few.
This is about 96.
I started doing comedy in 95, 96. When
96.
I came home from the military. So I did time in the military, and I came home when I was finishing out my reserve obligation. I started doing stand-up. And, you know, Dion and them were a little bit ahead of us. Dion, mm-hmm. Corey Holcomb, Damon Williams actually was the first person to ever put me on stage. So, you know, I'm always indebted to him. And Tony Schofield was the second person to ever bring me up on stage. So those kind of like my big brothers in the game, man. I always respect them. Even to the point where this day, if a promoter calls me to do a show with them, I feel funny about them if they say, well, you know, Damon's going open for you. Or I'd be like, well, nah, let me host and let Damon go last, or let Damon host and let me go last. Mm-hmm. Like, I just, to me, it's a respect thing. You know, them, I can never see myself, yeah, you go out before me. It's one of the guys that put me on.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people used to be like, oh, what, you scared? No, it's not that I'm scared. It's just like, it's a lot of shit that y'all don't really learn about. It's just respect. It's like, you DJ, Tony. So, like, if Jazzy Jeff is the last DJ, Tony's a professional. He's not going to go out and burn up all of the hot shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's 9 o'clock you know, at night, and nobody's
unless
really.
Unless Jazzy was being a dick that night.
Then you turn up on.
I'm playing all odds.
But it's just it's like an etiquette thing, man. Yeah. And I've learned that too, and just translated even over when I DJ. They was like, "Why you didn't play this? Why play this?" I said, "Because your headline is gonna play out."
Right.
You know, I lubricated your vagina. He's gonna stab. He's getting paid to stab. I'm getting paid to lubricate.
Yeah, you got to know your opening role.
Yeah,
the opener's role.
And it's an ego thing. It's a little bit of bringing your ego down, you know, because you want to turn up and be like, yeah, but you can still rock the joint. Yeah. You can still be a dope comic without going over your time, without stepping on everything that the headliner's doing.
Yeah, or trying out some new shit.
That's it.
Yeah.
What do you think the big difference is with, you know, if your era coming up in the mid 90s versus, you know, the new comedians you see right now?
Well, unfortunately, the internet, social media is a gift and a curse for new comics.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gift for the simple fact that somebody like DC Young Fly could turn a profitable career and using Instagram to do 15-minute sketches or whatever, and then turn that into an acting career, whatever. That's the pros of it. The cons of it is that everything's microwave. Everything's microwave, and nothing is. There's no creativity. Everybody's kind of doing the same thing. You're re-editing. You know, you get to sit up and edit it and make sure it's perfect. Whereas coming out when we did, we had rooms that, man, listen. It's like listening to a song, Tony. You know, before it gets to the hook, whether this shit is hot.
Yeah.
You got 30 seconds to impress me when I hear your music. If your first 30 seconds, you dig. And cut this shit off. Get to it. Let's go. Back when we were coming up, comedy, you went to Diane Corder's room at the Click on a Saturday night. You could be ripping like dismantling the fucking room. Time they start playing juke music upstairs, people left. But you had a thick skin. That shit happened to some of these comics now. They have a fit. Man, fuck you, audience. Like, no, dog, you're not bombing. It's just something right now that's a little bit better than you. You know what I'm saying? And we get it. That's that room. And we had different rooms to perform in. And you had to be funny. You didn't just get on because this person knew you. I tell people all the time, when Jokes and Notes was running, Mary, they used to think Mary was like, man, Mary tough. I said, boy, Mary is so nice. And now, if you motherfuckers knew the time Nazi, we knew the time Nazi. Y'all know Mary. We knew the time Nazi. The time Nazi, like, they get mad when she comes stand at the stage when you going over your time.
She stand right at the stage.
Yeah. That ain't shit. When she was the time Nazi, she used to get on the mic in the DJ booth, get the fuck off the stage.
Oh, shit.
And then everybody looked back to the...
Now you're an asshole.
Yeah.
And people start laughing at you. Maybe it's like, get off my stage. And then when you got off, you didn't work. You had to try out. You had to audition to do open mic on Wednesday nights at All Jokes Aside. Any and everybody went up at Jokes and Notes. So it's just I think the bars have been lowered a little bit. And I think sometimes comedy gets watered down. Everybody has a room. That didn't happen back in the day. Everybody didn't have a room. Certain people had a room. Damon had this room. George Wilborn had this room. Corey Holcomb had these rooms. But these were all established killers. Now, a guy or girl that's been doing comedy for 2 weeks got a room. And you can't tell them that they ain't the shit because they got a room. Because their uncle owns a lounge. And this is my room. And, you know, I'm dope. And I'm like, you got 5 minutes and 3.5 of that shit don't work.
But I mean, to their credit, I think when you're that brand new, if you're 2 weeks in, then you gotta have a room because who else gonna put you up and shit?
But see that that's another thing. Like, I feel like I give everybody a shot. Workout rooms are just for that, and I even explain that to the crowd when I'm hosting. This is an open mic night. You're gonna get some good. You're going to get some bad. Now, what you don't want that is on a weekend at a comedy club. You want everybody, the meal has to be perfect. But this right here, these are sample chefs. We creating samples. And I tell the new comics when they come up, if you know you got a solid joke, do that shit and get the fuck out of here.
Instead of trying to fill the time.
I tell you 3 to 5 minutes, but that don't mean you have to use it all.
Right.
You don't. You know what I'm saying? Because you know 5 minutes goes by quick when you rip it.
Yeah.
It's the longest shit in the world when you throw out a couple of jokes and they don't work. Man. It's the worst.
I had this comic. What was that gig at, man? This young cat. He had asked for a guest spot on the gig. It had been about 6 months ago, but then I had to move it because of something. And then we rescheduled the gig, and I had forgot about that guest spot. And then he just backstage and shit, and I was like,
staring at you.
Yeah, I was. Oh, I get it. And then I said, fine, man, you can do five or whatever. And he did like 17, and yeah. I had two open. And I said, what the?
Yeah.
I said, what the fuck? I said, never again, bro. You won't ever.
And they don't get it. Like, they
like
think,
how can I? Like, I don't even get how you can do 17 off of five.
Like, and they think you shitting on them. It's like, no, man. This is a show.
Like, I couldn't even. I was trying to. Like, how can you? I can get maybe doing an eight
seven,
or ten
seven
off of a five.
Off of five, right.
But 17 off of five, like, where did you think you were?
And were you ripping? And were you ripping that hard?
He was not ripping and either. That's what made it worse.
Yeah, it's like you know, I say that all the time. Like, comics go out. I said, you're not hurting me. When I did college with a couple of comics, and they were all new. I was the like oldest guy on the show, and everybody that went out, showing their ass. They hitting, ripping, woo, woo. Everybody's doing over their time. First comic was supposed to do 10, he did 15. Second comic was supposed to do 15, he did 25. Comic that came out after him was supposed to do like 10 to 15, 20 to 25. We got to be out of the building at 11. I hit the stage at 10:46. I was supposed to do 45 minutes. That promoter was sick. He still had to give me mine, and yeah. I was getting a nice little chunk of change. But I said, I just pulled the dudes together. I said, hey, man, one, all the shit y'all did, I went out and did one joke to erase that and get the crowd was with me. So if you think you was going out there to make me bomb, that's not going to happen. And two, not only did you cheat the people that came to see me, you cheated that promoter because he didn't get his money's worth out of me. But guess what? I'll be back. He's gonna bring me back, but I bet you y'all won't be back, and y'all ripped. Y'all did y'all thing. I say, but was it worth it? Like, you gotta realize the business is about relationships. Really, Bernie Mac told me that. He's like, man, 80% of this shit is relationship. 20% is your actual talent. He said, because I see a lot of motherfuckers that come in here that I don't think is funny, but they good people. I let them go up. I say, wow, Bernie, for real? He's like, yeah, man. He said, but at the end of the day, if you always, like you said, if you being a dick, who wants to work with you?
Yeah.
And that's part of being a dick. If you just said, this is my show, bro, but go ahead, do five.
Yeah.
And you go out there and do 17, that's blatant disrespect. Yeah, I don't even respect true. The and fact was, that you gave me this opportunity.
Yeah. It was a theater show. I was like.
Yeah, man. Like, was, are you serious? Like, yeah. Come on, bro.
Yeah, it was wild, reckless. When did you meet Bernie for the first time or see him live?
The first time I ever met Bernie, I started doing comedy. I used to do the Cotton Club Monday nights. He originally used to host it, then he left, and Dion hosted, then Dion left, and then they gave me the job. And he came through, saw me do a show. He said, I want you to come do my spot, Miltrenier's. He had a spot called Miltrenier's, and this was
where right was up, that?
It was downtown, like nice, like yeah. Swank, like downtown, like in that Fairbanks little section, AMC, yeah. Really nice, man.
And was he doing movies at this point?
Yeah, he had Midnight Mac, the show HBO.
Okay.
That's actually how the concept for the Midnight Mac show came from Miltrenier's. And what was crazy, if I can recall, at Miltrenier's, you either got paid $25, a drink tab, or a copy of your show. Those were your three options.
Yeah.
You get a videotape copy of your show, You can get a drink tab, which was $25, or you can get the $25 cash. So me, you know, being a new comic, I wanted the copy of my tape.
Right.
To just get to more work. I could perform that. And you went up there, all you had to do was like 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. You went up there, and he used to tell you, go up there, you do motherfucker 5 minutes. No more, no less. And get the fuck off my stage. And from there, he always used to just talk to us. He was cool, always approachable, man. That's what I loved about him. Like, I'm like, damn, I'm talking to Bernie Mac. Mm-hmm. But to him, you was a comic.
Right.
And the greatest story of Bernie ever, for me, Damon Williams used to have a room called TNT Comedy Hook out in Lansing. It's now Dixie Kitchen.
Okay. And on, he still, does he do stuff there now?
Not,
does somebody
not
do some comedy there?
I not at Dixie Kitchen. It's Tilly's.
Okay.
Corey. Shout out to Corey Bell. She does Tilly's. It used to, it's a little bar restaurant off the chain on Sundays. Mm-hmm. I recommend everybody go check it out. It's a beautiful spot. We all standing in Sunday nights at TNT Comedy Hook because that was the room to be. I mean, you a new comic, you was going to get laid, eat good, females was up there. It was just crazy. Like, new comic syndrome, oh, there's so much pussy in here. I got to go up. Yeah, I got to go up. You know, it happens to the best of us. But we're all standing in there talking. Damon is getting the lineup card ready. Mm-hmm. DJ Dollar Bill on the ones and twos doing his thing. Bernie Mac walks in, and everybody just gets quiet. And he was like, Damon, one go up. I'm working on my set for Kings of Comedy. He was working on his set for Kings of Comedy. Shit. And he said, I want to go up first. So, motherfuckers already awestruck that Bernie had just walked into Lansing. But, you know, he's from Chicago. He's from the Grange. You know what I'm saying? He move around. He shoot at Chuck's Guns Range, all that. We already awestruck that Bernie Mac just walked in. But he's like, I want to go first. Hannibal, when I say he went up on that stage and the whole motherfucker, you tell that motherfucker, he was working on that.
The milk and cookies.
All that shit, he's working on it.
I came in the house the other day, man, at 1:30 in the morning. The 2-year-old gonna send the faggot downstairs for some milk and cookies. I'm going upstairs, he coming down. He gonna walk past me like I'm a visitor. I said, where you going? He said, to get some milk and cookies. He said it so funny, I wanted to hear it again. I said, get some what? He said, some milk and cookies. You know, I told him, I said, man, it's too goddamn late for some damn cookies and milk, man. Take your punk ass upstairs and get some rest. That's how I talk to him. Fuck that timeout shit. I ain't got time for these badass kids. These kids will kill you. They gonna kill me. I'm gonna kill them. I can see y'all reading Jet and Ebony right now. He talking. It's a shame how Bernie fucked up those damn kids. I can't get no rest. They walk around the house 3-4 o'clock in the morning. Got their finger under my nose, seeing if I'm breathing, all that kind of shit. Badass, some of my bitches. Rocking all the goddamn time. I ain't no psychologist. Then this dumbass man gonna sit up there. She gonna go upstairs. The 2-year-old, I heard the 2-year-old say, where the cookies and shit?
And he went up and did like 30
up top.
Funk flex, bomb, just dismantled the joint. Motherfuckers running, throwing up. Ladies having babies in the middle of the club, offering their babies up. The shit was crazy. And then he goes, yeah, I like that. I think I'm going to keep that. And we all sitting up here like, Damon was like, Leon, you next. Next? What the fuck is you talking about, bro? Next to do what?
Yeah.
Run a lap, clean up in this bitch? There's nothing left. This is ground zero. He just dismantled this mother.
Yeah.
But this is when I kind of felt like, and then Bernie, like, he literally had the pep talk, son of a. The only one he didn't have the pep talk was Corey. Corey was like, shit, I'm ready, let's go.
Yeah.
So Damon was like, all right, Corey, you go. Corey went ripped. Then he's like, Leon, you ready? I'm like, I guess. Like, I ain't been doing comedy that long, and I'm shook. Like, I'm a regular up there Sunday nights. People love me. I'm like, it's fucking Bernie Mac. Yeah. And then Corey Holcomb came behind that. Two totally different styles of comedy. I'm like, where does my little cornball shit fit in? Like, I'm really searching. Bernie was like, man, just go up there and do you. I went up there, and boom, hit. And then Muhammad went up. Boom, that was like one of the coldest nights I've ever been on a show that wasn't like an arena show. That shit was amazing, man. And Bernie was like, that's why I love Chicago. We got some talent out here. He said, I purposely came and went here to fuck this show up. Yeah. I wanted y'all to bomb.
Oh, shit. He said, I couldn't do it.
But Bernie was just like, he test you like that. He was the big brother. He was the big brother, man. When he got sick and he passed, man, it hurt. You know, a big piece of Chicago comedy left because he was one of the real ones.
Damn.
Yeah, he's one of the real ones.
That's dope, man. Yeah, sometimes you can get intimidated when somebody go up and rock it, but then sometimes you could just ride the wave.
Or you could be like, fuck that, let's go.
Yeah.
You can be on some magic and bird shit.
Right.
Let's go, Larry. All right, I'm here. You here. Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant shit.
Yeah. It's sometimes I haven't been at the Comedy Cellar for a while, and I'll pop in. Like, I'm just there to really work on some stuff. Like, right. I ain't even, I'm just kind of, and then somebody go on before me, and they'll light it up, and I'll be like, gee, I wasn't even planning on.
But you know what? Real talking, this might seem crazy, and people might condemn me for this, but there are three comedians that I have my reservations about going behind because they just, to me, they're so fucking phenomenal. They're like, they just, the energy and shit that they emit is hard to match.
Who is it?
One of them, when he does his show, and don't fuck around, Marlon Mitchell. Like,
yeah.
Talking about that R. Kelly stuff, me, myself, personally, if I have any daughters, I'm going to catch it before it start. Ain't going to be no slicking people in the basement and having brothers looking like me coming to the door talking about, hey, Mr. Mitchell, what's up? Where LaKeisha at? I'm going to slip some hormone pills in my daughter's food while they babies. So when they get older, they'll be real big like me, muscular. Big old Rockman knot on their head. No hair, no teeth, and talk just like this. Daddy, daddy, why are muscles bigger than yours? Supposed to look like, baby, you look so pretty. Come on, get in the car. Daddy, why we got big old ding-a-lings and stuff?
Woo! That dude, just naturally funny. Right. Like somebody that walks into a room and you just start giggling because the fucking way he looks. And then if he's on... Mm-hmm. Second is Tony Roberts.
I knew Tony Roberts was going to be a part of it.
All these rapper shit that they ain't about, really. Look, if I hear another song with Lil Wayne on it, I'm going to kick somebody in their fucking face. Is he the only one that's rapping? Every song. I'm a lizard, I'm a frog, I'm a frizzer. What kind of machine did this motherfucker come out of? Somebody put him together. It's like somebody took a bowl and stuffed his face in a bowl of accidents. He's a genius, though. He keep rapping about nothing, and we buying it. Fuck!
And third, Godfrey Dansimer, man.
And my friends never believed I'm African. I remember I told my friends it was like a big shock to them. I said, dude, I'm Nigerian American. Word? We thought you were like regular black. What the fuck is regular? Crayola coming out with colors I don't know about or some shit? So you call my parents' house, my father picks up the phone, you think you're talking to the Lion King. Can I speak to Godfrey?
Godfrey's not here.
Mufasa? You are still alive. Who in the head is Mufasa?
When Godfrey is on his silly shit,
yeah.
I'm cool. I'm cool when he gets to going to all his characters and shit or just doing silly shit. Like, I remember one day this dude did an Instagram post and he said, what the fuck is going on in Starburst? They got one banana on the plate and look, they got a tag that says, banana, and he just kept doing that shit. And my kids were laughing so hard, and I'm like, damn. Like, and then I tried to come by and I was like, that's crazy. Like it'd be like, I say orange, and they was like, nah, not funny, dad. He's funny. I'm like, well, fuck y'all then. Let's see if you can eat. after the day, because I'm not buying shit else. So she's laughing at Godfrey. Let Godfrey go be your daddy. And then my wife comes out the back. He almost was. Yeah. It's like, you comedy groupie, bitch. That's what she was
on. Yeah, they only put Godfrey on last at the Comedy Cellar.
God, that dude, man.
He's only, the years I've been doing the Comedy Cellar, you look at the lineup, he's never been in the middle of a show.
When he does the improv out in Schaumburg, like he comes on the radio and sits here with it, I don't say shit. I let just Godfrey roll, G.
Yeah. Yeah. He's always on.
And just hope always. My bosses ain't listening and be like, well, we get him. And we can get rid of Leon.
Yeah, and Tony Roberts, so much energy where you laugh, but you can't, like, I can't tell you a Tony Roberts joke.
Right. But all I know is I'm fucking like
I know he's one of the funniest people in the world.
But I can't tell you a bit.
But crush like, where.
Why is that?
Because it's pop, 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 it's rapid fire.
It's just energy and just, it's crazy.
Yeah, like he'll be like, just how he just did that, it's like, it's this shit's crazy.
Because I saw him, he did this club in Phoenix. I did the early show, he did the late show. And so I stuck around and watched his show, and I was talking with him.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Did you watch that show?
I was there with you. Yeah. I remember being like, whoa, look at what he's doing with that chair. He's crazy.
Yeah, see, he saw Tony Robbins.
So you get like, it. You see what I'm saying? You can't.
He uses that stage like,
you can't. Like, he say shit like.
It's performance art.
It's like, crazy. You can't say, like, he'll be on stage. He'd be like, you ever been slapped so hard at itch?
Yeah. And then
he'll go into some other shit. And then he was like, yeah. But I told him, motherfucker. Okay. And then he'll sing a song like, you got the breath of 1,000 asses.
Yeah,
and then he'll just come up with some shit and start singing. And I'm like, it's fucking amazing.
He's like sliding across stage, throwing the chair
with the towel and shit on. He's walking around. He was like,
it's performance art.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't, and each time I see him, it's different.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, this motherfucker's insane, bro. I can't follow. Like, I would never even try. I'm like, who y'all got me by? Nah, bro. Yeah, I'll take less money. I need, because that motherfucker is just his energy. He's a ball. He's Super Saiyan. Like, he's Dragon Ball Z. Like, it's like, he go to different levels with that shit.
I was trying to ask him, I was like, where do you try out material?
Anywhere?
Do you do it?
Like, you'll be sitting there and be like, look at this couch. Look at this pillow. You know. This feel like Puerto Rican pussy. It just keep going. Bottle water. Ooh, Fiji. All right. Hawaiian piss. All right. And then you just like, you laughing so much, you don't realize this motherfucker.
He's just going.
Bow, bow, bow.
Yeah, he's great.
Like, I would love to see him fuck with this.
Oh,
like, I probably have a seizure laughing.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't even use it anymore.
He would find ways. Like, him and Godfrey, they got that same type of, like, energy.
Yeah.
But then Godfrey adds the African stuff to it. So it's just, those are two people. And like I say, Marlon is just like, when Marlon's not giving thanks to God, because he annoys me. I love Marlon. You know what I mean? This is beautiful. God got us all here.
Yeah.
But when Marlon, like, gets into his shit, and one of the funniest dudes I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Marlon.
Marlon Mitchell.
Check out Francis Cocktail Lounge.
Yes, sir. Every Monday. Yeah. Just Niche and them doing comedy up there now.
That's on 79th or 9th?
75th.
75th.
Francis right
Cocktail
Prairie.
Lounge on 75th Street.
Yeah.
In the Chi.
The hood.
Yeah, man. When'd you start DJing?
I've been DJing now. This will be year number 7.
Year number 7?
Yep. And actually, what was crazy about it, I was just doing it for fun, because I used to always watch DJ Dollar Bill in the club, in the comedy club. And he used to do this thing with Peter Piper, with Run DMC. And he used to be like, there it is. Ping, ding, ding, ding. And I was this little groupie bitch. I was standing by the table. I'm like, this DJ Dollar Bill, y'all, look at him. You know what I'm saying? And I just thought that was so amazing. And I thought DJs and comics are one and the same in this aspect. And stop me if I'm wrong. It's just you. In the booth, it's just you on the stage. Your opening, how you get the people in when you first start your setup. You play, you get the dance floor cracking. You got everybody laughing. Tell a wrong joke, lose the crowd. Play a wrong song, they disperse off the dance floor. And sometimes it's hard to get them back. Yeah. Or sometimes you can come back. When you ripping and killing, standing O. When you ripping and killing, fuck, motherfuckers look up, it's 3 o'clock, the club is closing. They like, oh no, fuck that, man, you did your thing.
Yeah.
So they're parallel in the fact that they master ceremonies, we control crowds. But with our voice.
I think the biggest difference, though, is that a lot of the times the promoters of a club will purposely ask you to play songs that'll disperse the crowd so motherfuckers
go drink.
Yes.
Go drink. But
like, play a song that'll dead this crowd right now because motherfuckers aren't buying drinks right now.
But even with that being said, when you that bad motherfucker,
yeah,
man, get the fuck. Like, rest in peace, Timbuktu. I've seen promoters come to Tim and be like, hey, Tim, man, kind of slow it down.
Yeah.
You know, and Tim,
you're killing
like,
it too hard.
Tim used to be like, do you want motherfuckers to be back in this bitch next week? Man, leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah.
Or he just do the, I can't hear you. Okay, yeah, and keep going.
Yeah, I do that. That's my move, yeah. I'll be right there. Yeah, I got you. So,
that's such a great move.
Yeah.
I DJ sometimes, and it was just, this girl... I did this little goofy part in the opening of my set while I was on the mic. Like, let's play all the songs with flutes. And so I play like that.
Mask off.
I closed with the mask off. It was something from Playboi Carti. And then it was that Chris Brown Gucci Mane, Tone It Down. They got the. And then I played Mask Off. And then this girl comes up into my right ear and says, oh, this song is so March. But it's. And dog, I didn't even give her that. I just kept looking at the laptop. I didn't even look over at her. She just kept on saying it. She said that shit about five times and then just walked off, man. And so,
you know what motherfuckers been doing?
That'd be the funniest shit, though, man. Cause I used to watch him do that. He's like, he just shitted on them. Because, like, the music's not even that loud. Yeah. And he's like.
You know what motherfuckers been doing to me lately when I do that? Because I do that move all the time. Yeah. This is what they do. They pull it up on the notes.
And do this? Like, yeah, motherfucker. So,
bro, that is the most annoying shit.
Well, I just have my cousin, my cousin Dave.
Who, on the side?
I just have him stand at the DJ booth.
Exactly.
And they be like, what do you want? He be like, what you want? And he's an asshole.
Right.
So he be like, what do you want? And then, or like with guys, would be like, man, yo, I want to ask him, could he play? He say, so let me get this straight. You're a man, and you finna ask another man to play something for you.
Especially when it's popping.
Degrade the shit out of them. Yeah. They be like, all right. And the females, he be like, you know, he'll say some incredible shit to them. They be like, well, I want my friend want to hear. Yo, so what's going on? Y'all messing with the DJ and his security after?
Yeah.
Because that's how the shit gets played. And then they be like, oh my God, he's an asshole. But I don't get bothered. But nonetheless, I don't get bothered. Whatever works.
Yeah.
But watching Dollar Bill all the time, and Dollar Bill came to my house one day and saw all the records and shit that I had and CDs. And like, dude, why don't you DJ? I was like, well, I'm not a DJ, bro. I just love music. And being in the military helped because when I went abroad, I met more people, because living in the Midwest, man, we didn't really have a style when it came to hip hop. If you know, if you kind of understand what I'm saying, you know, the East Coast, you had Mobb Deep, you had Wu-Tang, you had a sound,
yeah.
Florida, bass music, you know, you had Rodney O and Joe Cool, Two Live Crew, you know, Poison Clan. Then even when you went to Texas, Scarface, you know, you had Ghetto Boys. Then, of course, the West Coast, G-Funk and all that stuff. In the Midwest, we were kind of like in the 90s, we were floating. We didn't really have...
Well, we had our, like, gangster shit, and we had our, like...
Yeah, you had Twister.
But
mind you, once again, that's later. We talking...
Early, yeah.
Early 90s, the golden era.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. We didn't... What did we have?
Man.
Like,
who
was it? Even Common.
Common
barely. That was like...
And he was biting, like, Daz FX.
Just the start of something big, big, big. God knows you're gonna dig it. It's out of rap to see him pops the G, and I'm a figure, figuring out the mic. I'm ripping it like a liquor, man. Give me your light, a butt light. It's sitting lit just like a cigarette. I'm
right. So, dig it, the Common, the Can I Borrow a Dollar album.
Yeah.
Even with that, like, you still talking, it was Midwest, but it had New York appeal.
Exactly.
Okay, so it wasn't until late 90s, 2000, the Twisters, Crucial Conflicts. You know, I listened to D.A. Smart and all them guys, but they weren't nationally known artists. Yeah. D.A. Smart, to me, to this day. Shout out to D.A. Smart if you ever see this. Made one of the coldest gangster songs ever in the history of Chicago rap music. It's called Walk With Me, where he takes you on a journey and gives you every gang from the top to the bottom.
I didn't
from
know that's who that. I didn't know who that's his name, but I definitely know that
Smart
song.
Walk With Me. Yes. If you came to Chicago and didn't know shit about our gangs, that's 101. Listen to that song and you be like, okay, I'm not going to go here. And if I get shot on the west side, don't let them take me to Loretta Hospital because I'm going to die because D.A. Smart said
that. I forgot about that. So, I hadn't heard it. We're going to close it out on that.
Yeah, actually. Mickey Halsted and all them guys, you know, they came a little bit later. So we didn't have an identity in Chicago until, you know, the Commons and the Kanye's started coming along where you could, you know, really see Chicago hip hop. So when I went abroad and just started listening to everybody's music, because, you know, I was Wu-Tang, Mob, you know, Big, Nas, that's all I rock him to God. I'm just, this all I do, Gangsta, you know. But then when I went, and I'm like, damn, Poison Clan, Home Team, oh, wow, UMCs, oh, wow, Houston, oh, wow, the West Coast got hip-hop motherfuckers, Hieroglyphics. Saphir the Saucy Nomad, Mr. Dabalina, Mr. Bob Dabalina. I'm like, oh, wow.
Mr. Dabalina, Mr. Bob Dabalina. Mr. Dabalina, Mr. Bob Dabalina, Mr. Bob Dabalina, won't you quit? You really make me sick with your fraudulent behavior. You're gonna make me flip and then an army couldn't save you.
Because, you know, when I thought West Coast, all I thought was gangbanger, you know, Snoop Dogg and all that. So he was like, man, you need the mix, dog. You need the DJ. And I was like, he said, let me teach you. He broke out the 12s. I used to go over his house in Indiana when he lived in Hammond. And I learned on 12s, no Serato, nothing. We learned straight records, you know. And then after I got, he said, man, I want you to come over here every day and just learn how to beat juggle. I said, Dollar Bill, if we wasn't cool, that sounded real gay. That sounded like a cold word. I said, I want you to come over here and beat juggle. Like, well, what exactly do you mean by beat juggle? I'm not like that. But
juggling beats,
that's very fortunate that you got to learn off of vinyl, though. Yeah. I feel like a lot of these kids are missing out.
Controller.
It's just, when you learn on vinyl, you have a way different appreciation of the music itself and just the art of turntable.
And mind you, too, being in Chicago, I come from house music. See, when I was a teenager, we went to house parties a lot. There wasn't no hip-hop parties like that. We were going to house parties. Even a lot of your DJs today, like a guy like V-Dub, right? When you hear V-Dub, it's a mixtape bully. You know, get your vest on. But V-Dub was one of the dopest house DJs in Chicago. Ferris Thomas, same way. They just reinvented themselves. You know, Terry Hunter, all that. These guys were house DJs. So with that background and learning how to blend, and of course stepping, that's another thing, you know, the stepper sets. You learn how to blend music. So once I got that down, I just kept working. Then I started buying my own equipment. And I reached out to a lot of DJs who I respected and thought was dope. And some of them, you know, looked at me like, get the fuck out of here. You know, right. You're trying to capitalize on what we do, be a quote-unquote celebrity DJ. Well, when that never was my goal. I never want somebody like Tony to look at me and be like, oh, he's a celebrity DJ. I want somebody like Tony to be like, yo, that motherfucker rocked that set. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Right. Or he inspired me to go pull some records out of my crate that I ain't been using in a while. And I think that was one of my advantages. I didn't come up DJing from
laptops.
Yeah, because now.
Well, that's a rites of passage, too, to just carry around.
Yeah, get your arm strong and tear rotator cuff or two.
Just take, unload your car with crates of records, like to rock a party.
And your
like
friends that. And your friends with you and all that.
Yeah.
But I will say this, though. Just like, I don't want to be the old man on the line when it comes to comedy, and I can't be mad at comedians that use Instagram and Facebook as a platform, because I think Ha Ha Davis is amazing.
Yeah.
It's finna be a breeze. Like, that shit is funny. Yeah. But that's because of Insta. He can do that. I can't be mad at technology neither, because, you know, it does save you a lot of work when you can get 50,000 songs right there. Yeah. That's you can bring your whole library.
Traveling,
with you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So even with the controllers, it's all, that's a more about convenience. Now, yeah, when you got people that's sinking and cheating and doing all that, but they don't respect the craft anyway, and it's going to come out. And let's be honest, we got to blame the audience sometimes, even with comedy, Hannibal. You can relate to this. You'll get somebody like Tony Woods, who's a brilliant writer, right? Write something so crazy and over the top, but the audience is so used to hearing, yeah, make a female stuck dick so much a nosebleed. It's microwave. We want the quick laughs. We don't want to sit and listen to your story and wait for the punchline at the end. We want it now. And like with DJing, when I go to a club, if you sit and listen, right? DJs don't have to blend. They don't have to do nothing.
All the crowd want
is their favorite song played. That's all they want. And to the fact that they don't care that if you was just on and you played Mask Off, Bodak Yellow, and Bad and Bougie, and I come back on and I play Bodak Yellow, Mask Off, Bad and Bougie, they don't give a fuck.
Bro, like you could legit be killing, this happens to me all the time, killing the dance floor, destroying it, everybody dancing. Motherfucker still got a request.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Yeah.
Do you have a request?
Enjoy your fucking self.
Yeah.
Like, get away from my booth.
Like, why aren't you dancing with them?
It's a model fest. Everybody wants to pose in their new clothes, their Balenciaga and Hermes, right? And everybody wants to stand and chill. And this is why, like, I'm so glad now. Like, I try to create lanes with parties. Like, for my birthday, I did an indoor beach party, but it was all 90s themed. You know what I'm saying? So I said, so if you come in here to hear the trap, you're going to be upset.
Right.
Because we're not playing this shit. And we're going to have a good time playing music from 1990s all the way into the mid-2000s. And we're going to have a good time. It's like, and I feel like a DJ's job, personally, is to keep music alive. I feel like your job is to keep hot shit alive and just let it get lost.
I blame a lot of the Spotify streaming generation, because everything's so instant. And then they give you the what's hot now.
Right.
You know, you like this.
And it's
you
agenda.
Like that.
It's agenda push.
Yeah.
Right.
So, like, back in the days when I first started, like, I dug. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I'd have to go places, find shit.
Dr. Wax, you over here.
Exactly. You know, like, gramophone. Yeah. Like, I had to dig.
Yeah.
Like, now, motherfuckers don't dig. It's just right there to touch.
Google.
And then they tell you, oh, you like Playboy Cardi? Check this guy out. It's just like, it's there. It's instant.
I can go to YouTube. 300,000. Like, one day I was DJing with this guy, and I was just looking at all his equipment. I was like, yo, this shit is fucking trash. Like, you've been dropping it or whatever. And I was like, yo, bro, where you get your music from? Because I'm listening to him playing it. This shit sounds horrible. Yeah. Oh, man, I pull everything off YouTube.
I'm like, that's crazy.
You're not in a record pool. You're not in, like, you know, I mean, the $20 that you spend on that loud, you can take that $20 a month and have access to thousands of songs.
Yeah.
I said, a lot of the DJs don't even care about the craft. It's just like, I want to get into the club free. Excuse my French, fuck a few bitches off this, because we all know the DJ gets tail. And that's it. I want to live like that. Like, and then you're disrespecting the game. That's another thing, too, where I got into it with a lot of promoters because I knew my worth. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Leon, yeah, we got this party. We want you to do it downtown. We're charging 50 to get in. But we want you to, you know, can you spend from 9 to 12? You be the first DJ for $150.
It's like, good exposure.
No, motherfucker, my kids can't eat exposure. What brand is that? Is that General Mills?
I still get exposure. I still get exposure offers. Oh, it's great exposure. It's like,
You know, Tone, I'm not even mad at that, man, depending on what it is. Hey, right. Man, Barack Obama's having a swingers party. He needs somebody to keep the mood right. Yes. Ain't really no money in it. Okay, I'm in. Rock swing a party. It's gonna be some motherfuckers there.
It's gonna be some folks there. He's not letting anybody at that type of event.
You dig, man. You know, Shorty might walk through that nigga. Shout out to Michelle. You know, I'm in on that.
And but, you know, and some other people there, they throw swinger parties also. They gonna need a DJ.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna charge them. But Barack, I gotta be on the strip. But like, no, motherfucker, the every Friday night that y'all do where somebody's probably going to get shot afterwards in the parking lot, no, I can't do that one for free. You got to pay me. At least, you know what I'm saying? If it's 300 people in here, y'all charging $20 at the door, you mean to tell me I can't get a dollar off every hit? Yeah. A dollar? Yeah. And that's light work.
Right.
But DJs, but they...
The rates in Chicago are fucked up,
and but because the younger guys just want to be the ones to say that I DJ this party.
Yeah.
They don't know that you are the party. You can literally... But now what's so fucked up about that is the promoter was like, oh, you're not going to play? Well, let me get out my little...
Exactly. Well, you know what? There's two generations of these DJs right now. You got the guys that have the Spotify and they can just stream whatever and just kind of play, do whatever. It's at their fingertips. And then you got like the nerdy vinyl collector. It's like, I ain't calling vinyls.
Right.
But they just slam vinyl. Like, but they're special because they play vinyl. But they don't know the craft.
No blend, no creative transitions. It's just play this song.
They're playing for PBRs.
Y'all like that?
Yeah. They're playing for PBRs. Not even that.
What about this one?
Yeah. Like the nerd, just the nerdy, like
the eclectic motherfucker.
Yeah, bro. Like playing for PBRs.
You hear the crackle?
Yeah. The audiophile nerd record collect.
So I mean, you know, I just try to be respectful of the craft that I'm in, and I look at it as a craft. I look at it as, you know, something that if you've been doing it for 30 something years, I don't automatically assume that I could come in and bless it. I worked hard. Like I practiced for at least 2.5 years before I even went outside.
Wow.
With it. And when I went outside, I did a family barbecue.
Yeah.
And you know, my father kept it 100. He's like, yeah, stick to the comedy. That ain't shit. I was like, why? He's like, you ain't played no Motown. You know, yeah. I couldn't take him seriously because he's like, you ain't played an OJ song since I've been out here. I'm like, fuck you, old man. Pick your oxygen tank up and move around.
Yeah, man. Glad to have you on the show, Leon. Bro, I know you got to get out of here, man.
You know what? I'm glad to be here, man. Listen, hey, Hannibal, I want to tell you, dog, proud of you, man.
Thank you, man.
From watched your journey from first time I ever met you in Southern Illinois with my man RJE. We was down there doing a show.
Yeah.
To the fact that you doing what you're doing now, and you still come home and fuck with the lab, man.
Yeah.
You know, like you, Dion, you guys, y'all still come home.
I live out here.
I know. And that's a lot of people think. Because you make yourself scarce.
Yeah.
Man, oh, he in L.A., he don't come back. I was like, no, y'all just don't see him. Like, and I dig that. You know what I'm saying? I dig the fact that y'all coming. You guys like Dion Cole. Like, Dion comes home and is on 75th.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's special, man. D-Ray, all you guys. I'm just proud of you. And know that my self-esteem doesn't go down as much as it used to anymore. When people come and be like, why you ain't in L.A. with Hannibal and them? Yeah. Just been on the radio for fucking 15 years in the third largest market. Hey. Fuck it.
Man, I appreciate it.
But he on NBA 2K17, nigga. What video game you on? Goldfish? For the Nintendo 64? Joe, I'm playing the game in the scene where they go to the barbershop. Hannibal cut my head. Man, you ain't on shit, Leon. Appreciate y'all, man.
Yeah,
hey, man, make sure y'all follow me at Leon Rogers on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. It's my name. Don't put no D in my last name. I don't do the D. It's R-O-G-E-R fucking S, like the guy that used to come in and change sweaters and shoes. You ain't never thought that was weird? Like, black man do that, you committed a crime. He did this shit, it was normal.
Yeah, what was he up to?
Change shoes. Who the fuck you just scammed?
All right. Thanks, Leon.
Yep.
Put your left foot in front of your right foot and walk with me through the city of Shy, where the vultures be. Have you heard of the city crime? Sociologists be telling me the city died from all the murdering, gang banging, and drug dealing. Every 30 hours, they find another body with some slugs in them.
and ain't no blood in it. This the ill state, nigga, and ain't no love in it. Now we gon' start with the south side, where GDs and BDs and Blackstones don't coincide. So let me be your tour guide, so when you in a certain area, you will know what that hood ride. Now let's start with the vulture, where folks will throw up the fork sign to niggas they know they're close to. That's 49th estate, so mingle, but just a few buildings north, you got BDs on the three fingers. We call it the low, but back on 53rd estate, them MCs be running the hoe. You got police stations up in the Taylor, they there, but they can't save you. Walk with me, I'm just here to remind you that if you're plugged, you need to know exactly who to throw up your sign to. Cause from that mill folly, you might have your family come and identify your body. So walk with me.
Don't underestimate the south side. Come here acting like you hard, then leave your mouth wide.
Walk with me.
And on the east, there's no peace. Catch one in the head and end up dead in the streets.
So walk with me.
And on the tip to try the west side. They can't just to show you that they the best side.
Walk with me.
This is the city where the folk just be. So put your left foot in front of your right foot and walk with me.
If 51st and go west, you in Motown when niggas throw up the sign after they hit their chest. On 61st and Cottage Grove to 6th Trade, Blackstones run that area and they sport and praise. Bullet Park and Terrortown, remember the 4th, them devils had to tear it down. But on 87th and Jeffrey, them niggas are vice lords, committed to their living and all willing to die for it. Like in Lakeside, it's full of GDs, but GDs and BDs are running Paxton and Lawn City. Jeffrey Manor unto the Ickes, how to be well, just stay where y'all with me. Came Miss Caprini, this is the crime living city. I go to the mall, so 73rd and Stony, so they can uplift me. Cause it's really good to my stomach. Get back in the car, let's take a trip to that wild, wild hunters. Roseland is a living hell. Bodies dropping all gale from 10 Trade to Riverdale. You can go to Coach Club and Calumet with me. Close proximity, but that's not considered the city. So hit me on the page for something you wanna know about major crime areas in Chicago. Almost anything you wanna know, you can talk to me. But if you wanna see it, walk with me.
Don't underestimate the south side. Come here acting like you hard, then leave your mouth wide.
Walk with me.
And on the east, there's no peace. Catch one in the head and end up dead in the streets.
Walk with me.
And on the tip to try the west side. They're killing just to show you that they the best side.
Walk with me.
This is the city where the fault just be. So put your left foot in front of your right foot and walk with me.
Let's take a trip to the west side. What people in their opinion are telling me is the best side. Some even say it's the fresh side. But far as my conviction, I consider it as the death side. They be busting niggas at stop signs. Over 2,000 police are still inadequate, that's a stop crime. And every time a nigga's wet up, he go to Mount Sinai Hospital, cause they'll kill you in Loretta. Now let me tell you where the hoods dwell. Like in K-Town, where them BGs be throwing up that triple L. Them niggas shoot the coppers down. We even got new breeds on the south side of Pocket Town. They running the village for show, but on 16th the cops know you mostly gonna see them souls. They be throwing up the one. Now let's go see them insane vice lords on the avenue in Austin. They out the craziest I ever saw, and they forgot about them gangsters. Disciples over on Washington. Homie used to be full of unknowns, like Chicago Avenue. Now that's the place where them conservatives roam. You get caught slipping if you wanna, because them traveling vice lords will be waiting on you on California. See, Shy's full of hard brothers. Have you been through Central Avenue, the land of them four corner hustles? Waiting just to rush Shy. Especially them fools that think the Shy is full of busters. You can get traced and chalk the seat, or you could be on the safe side, nigga, and walk with me.
Don't underestimate the south side. Come here acting like you hard, they'll leave your mouth wide.
Walk with me.
And on the east, there's no